The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. One shining moment is all on the line. One shining moment.
What's up, college basketball fans? Welcome back to CBB 365. I'm Adam Hipsky here with Patrick Dalhan, and on today's show, we will touch up on some news and notes from around the college basketball world before we get into some boom or bust action and part two of our NBA draft preview.
There's been some fairly big news around the college basketball community, not just in men's and women's. We have confirmation that we will be getting some basketball this fall, at least. Teams can start practicing July 20th. So round of applause for the NCAA for getting something good done.
College basketball is coming back. Practices are gonna, the usual summer workouts, summer activities is what they called it, are gonna begin July 20th. Who knows who's going to be on campus then, because, you know, all the draft, early entrance and stuff, they don't have to decide for about, I think, 2 weeks after that. I think they decide by August 3rd. So that leaves about 2 weeks between them being allowed to practice and then them being allowed or them deciding whether or not if they're going to come back to school or not.
I know one person that's not going to be on campus for a college basketball team, Sadiq Bey. Upsetting. But
it is. But it's, you know, Villanova's gonna reload.
Yeah, that's true. Another person that's not gonna be on a campus for a college basketball team as of right now, Nojel Eastern. The kid committed to Michigan before he knew he got into the school, which is just like, that's just not a thing. I've never seen that before.
And it was really weird because he committed to Michigan so quickly after he entered the transfer portal, obviously played three seasons at Purdue and was going to sit one, play one at Michigan. But he entered the transfer portal and within the next 48 hours committed to Michigan, which was really strange because you talk about not being able to you don't see people committing without knowing if you're going to get in or not, but you also don't see transfers committing within 2 days. He didn't even really evaluate his options, and he had Michigan in his list of final schools coming in as a senior in high school before he committed to Purdue, but John Beilein was the coach then. Juwan Howard wasn't the coach. He was getting recruited by an entirely different coach and really just a different program. And so has he taken a visit to Michigan? Sure. Did he need to take a visit? Probably in the transfer when he was in the transfer portal? No, because he already knew what Ann Arbor was like. But you would think that you would at least want to evaluate your other options unless, you know, Michigan was in his plans way before he announced he was going to transfer. But, you know, they said that it was because his credits don't transfer because of his major, but we don't know exactly how true that is. You know, it seems a little fishy, but obviously we're never going to find out
unless he actually says something about it.
Yeah. And he never will. And we'll never find out whether or not that's the actual reason.
I, for one, don't believe it at all. I mean, Michigan is a huge, huge, huge school. And I would imagine whatever he was majoring in, they have at the school. It's not some run-of-the-mill state school like Wyoming or something. Like, this is legit. So, like, I have no clue what was going through his mind to commit to Michigan without knowing he would even get in, like, without even having a clue if you'd get in or not. I feel like that's the first – I feel like it'd take more time, too. I mean, he took less than 2 days.
Also, Purdue, his major – you know, you would think that if you're committed to that major, that you would at least look to make sure Michigan has that major.
Exactly.
You know, here we are, and Nojel Eastern is not going to be at the end. But, you know, who knows? Who knows where he's going to go now? His landing spots are really anywhere. I would expect him to go more close to home. His hometown is Evanston, Illinois. So I don't know. I don't know if Northwestern wasn't in his recruitment process early in coming out of high school, but I think if he goes somewhere closer to home, that he might have a much stronger case for a waiver to play or be eligible immediately. But you know, going into when people thought he was going to go to Michigan and sit one, play one, he had an interesting, I guess, he's an interesting prospect and player because he's really raw and he's got some areas of his game that he needs to work on, including his scoring and his outside jump shot. So people were saying that, you know, if he's able to take that year off and use it on the sidelines and be able to develop and maybe develop an outside shot, that he would be a much more lethal scorer because he's already a good, you know, post level scorer.
Yeah,
he's a big guard. He can get to the hole. He's very long and he's able to score. But you know, really, to be able to score on three levels, he's got to develop a good outside shot and even a good mid range shot, which he really doesn't have in arsenal right now.
Yeah.
So if he maybe sits a year and can develop a year sitting on the sideline, then you look maybe his senior season or, you know, his redshirt senior season, his fifth year, and maybe he is an NBA guy.
I just can't get over the fact that this will always be like
his ceiling is high, but yeah, he's got potential. I mean, he's got an NBA body. It's just if he can develop that shot, I think he's a good player.
Yeah,
for whatever college he gets to, you know, I mean, clearly he doesn't have any Big Ten restrictions. Michigan State, Ohio State were two schools that he was considering coming out of high school for them. Ohio State definitely has got some space open for him. They lost a few recruits, or not recruits, but they lost a couple guys, Luther Muhammad, DJ Carton, Alonzo Gaffney. They transferred out of the program. So those are three guys that leave some scholarship spots open. So I could see Chris Holtmann and Ohio State getting back in and maybe trying to involved with No Jelly Easter, and maybe we see him. It would be crazy. Him from Purdue to committing to Michigan and then heading, obviously, to the arch rival and going to Ohio State. But yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. It's a real possibility. I guess he could probably get somewhat of an interesting waiver just due to the fact that Ohio, I would assume Columbus is closer to Evans, Ann Arbor.
Yep.
But you know, maybe he isn't. He doesn't have to sit out a year, and he can just be eligible immediately and then come in as a senior. But, you know, I would really be intrigued if he can
develop that shot.
I'd really be intrigued if he's able to develop and see where he can be in the 2021-2022 season.
Oklahoma State got hit with that ban last week. Last week, and we talked about it earlier last episode with Pete Thamel. And you know, you'd think that from a recruiting standpoint it would hurt them, but actually it didn't at all. They've picked up Farron Favors Jr., a transfer from Cal Baptist, Rondell Walker, who is a 4-star, he's 93rd in the country for his class, Donovan Williams, a 3-star whose ranking is not as high as 93rd overall. Although all three of those guys reaffirmed their commitment to Oklahoma State, their transfer commitment. It's odd to me because you'd think that a program in such hot water really wouldn't do as well in recruiting, especially after a scandal as big as this has come out, right? Like you'd think that after Arizona got in trouble, like that killed them for recruiting for a year or two. But then they landed Nico Mannion. I feel like it should hurt them for longer than it has, but it just isn't.
What I take away is these guys obviously aren't the biggest. They're not really worried about the 1-year postseason ban, and I honestly don't blame them because you look from Cade Cunningham's point of view, and he's a one-and-done guy. He's a 5-star top three all around guy coming out of high school. He's going to play 1 year and he'll be off to the NBA and be a top five pick. All of these guys are in it. They're 4 year players. Unless, you know, they have a breakout season, who knows what can happen. They can go to the NBA or, you know, maybe find a different route. But most of these guys are going to be 4 year players, if not all of them.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, yeah, we might not make our tournament the freshman year, but our last 3 years, we're still here. We're still here for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had guys enter the transfer portal. They've got their starting center into the transfer portal. But these guys just saying that they, you know, like you said, reaffirm their commitment. I think it's good. I think, obviously, Oklahoma State's coach is doing a great job, probably trying to keep his guys, you know, involved and making sure that they're want to stay committed. But, you know, Cade Cunningham is going to be there 1 year, and he's definitely looking at other options. We already know that he is checking out other options. Mike Boynton, the Oklahoma State head coach, said that he is able to do and look other options. It'll be interesting to see what Cade does, but I also think that this is really good news for Mike Boynton and Oklahoma State's program, being able to keep these guys able to stick with the program and just not be phased by having a one-year postseason ban, because these guys will be big for them. I mean, obviously bringing in 3-4 guys, those are, you know, that's a third of your team. You know, those are guys are going to be game changers at some point in their 4 years. So being able to keep them and not having to go look somewhere else this late in the recruiting cycle, I think it's big. I think it tells a lot about what the Oklahoma State coaching staff is doing, being able to keep their players, you know, obviously believing in their program. So there's still a lot to be said. Oklahoma State still is going through the appeal process.
I would imagine they're not going to win that appeal. I think that they have no shot.
I don't think they will either, but, you know, I think maybe that's probably a huge point of emphasis for that Oklahoma State coaching staff. Like, hey, we're still appealing. We're still in this, you know. Don't give up on us yet. We might not have that postseason ban, and I'm guessing that's probably why Cade Cunningham probably hasn't decommitted. Obviously, his brother's on the coaching staff, but maybe, you know, if they lose that appeal, we might see some more, you know, pieces move around. But from Oklahoma State's standpoint, hopefully they can keep Cade. I'd love to see Cade play in the Big 12. I think he would be a big difference maker there instead of a blue blood, or obviously, you know, worst case scenario, he goes to the G League, which, you know, none of the basketball guys want to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's worst case scenario. But,
yeah,
you know, I would like to see him play in the Big 12. I think that could be a fun conference as long as he's able to, or as long as he stays with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Kind of like sad news. You don't want to hear this. Former number one point guard in the state of New York, Isaiah Washington, founder of Jelly Fam, a group of college basketball players and high school basketball players that are known for doing their great layups and stuff. Well, he used to obviously play for Minnesota, then transferred out to play for Iona. But since Rick Pitino now coaches at Iona, who trashed him, by the way, he's committed to Cal State Long Beach, which is it's kind of sad to see, I feel like to me.
I mean, he can't escape the Pitinos, you know, goes to Minnesota, plays under Rich, who I guess they butted heads, and then he moves on to Iona. Iona hires, obviously, his, you know, Richard Pitino's dad.
His dad, who ripped him to shreds.
And then they butt heads, and now, you know, you see Isaiah Washington, who had so much promise coming out of high school and going in to college at Minnesota, like you said, 4-star number one point guard in New York, had a lot of hype. I believe he was a top 100 guy, but
he was
goes to Long Beach State, and, you know, now is most likely going to be irrelevant. You know, he only averaged 11 points a game at Iona, so you looked at him going into Minnesota and thinking, you know, in a couple years he'll be in the NBA. And now that's just not even in the realm of possibility. Yeah. You know, he's at Long Beach State now. He'll start there and he'll play, and, you know, maybe he makes some good highlights. But unless you see him in the tournament, this guy's going to be irrelevant now. So, you know, like you said, you hate to see it, obviously.
You really hate to see it.
Minnesota to Iona to Long Beach State is a slide that rivals a Syracuse to Vanderbilt to George Washington slide of Matt Moyer.
I was just about to bring Matt Moyer up. For those who don't know, Jake Klein, not too fond of former Gatorade Player of the Year in Connecticut, two-time winner, who was a redshirt at Syracuse, played a season there, then went to Vandy, played two seasons there because he was a redshirt freshman, and now he's a grad transfer at George Washington playing in the A-10. It's very similar to this, but I feel like Isaiah Washington had a little bit more talent coming out of high school, you know, just known as like one of the best point guards in the country. You know, I feel like there's a bit of a difference there, but
yeah, he definitely had a lot of hype, but yeah, you know, we're not gonna, unless we see Long Beach State in March,
or if they go undefeated or something like San Diego State this year. It's Long Beach State. I mean, I don't really expect them to make that much noise this offseason.
Who knows? Maybe they can make some noise in the Big West, and then maybe they could be able to see. We can see Isaiah Washington in March.
Yeah, we could. Boom or bust.
Favorite segment on
CBB. Yeah, this is our favorite segment of the show. Not Seth Greenberg's favorite segment, but not a middle ground. Anyways, Adam, we're going to go with Scrubs.
Jay Scrubs. I'm going to say boom on this guy because I think he's going to come in with somewhat low expectations, never playing a D1 basketball game, playing at the JUCO level, thrived at the JUCO level. But I think he'll be plenty good in the NBA. I think he's going to thrive. I go my boom or bust. I'm not going to say boom is an all-star talent and bust is a, you know, just a straight bust, you know, doesn't, never starts a game, you know, whatever. But I would go boom off breaking expectations more and being able to break expectations and have a better NBA career than most expect. So that's why I'm going to go boom with Jay Scrubs, because I think that I think he's going to be a second round pick, maybe high second round, maybe late first round. But I think he's going to come in and I think he may start or come off the bench and be a good sixth or seventh man for a team. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to provide really good minutes and be able to score. He's 6'3", so he's a decent size for a one guard. But what sticks out is, I don't know how much he weighs now, but he was only 170 heading into JUCO. So, you know, if he can put on some weight, I think he can develop into a really good one guard. But I would say boom on Jay Scrub. What do you think about Jay Scrub?
I think that there's more boom potential than there is bust potential. Mm-hmm. Because he hasn't built up the reputation yet to bust. Like, the only place he can go is up. Like, obviously, he's going to be naturally more slept on because he didn't go to, like, a Kentucky. Or, like, he didn't even play NCAA basketball. Played JUCO basketball. So I think that naturally people are going to overlook him, and I do think that he's an unbelievably talented basketball player, that I think that he has the potential to be possibly maybe even start on an NBA team in his career.
Yeah, and I think coming from a late first round, even high second round pick, he's not going to have that expectation to start. And if he can start right away, I think that's great. And I think that's his bust potential that's his boom potential right there.
Yeah.
But I do wish we had to see him play at Louisville and see him play against the ACC competition. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're not going to. And, you know, NBA teams, we don't know if they're going to be able to scout out the way that they typically are able to and
for sure
conduct their draft interviews. So I think that could impact his draft stock a lot too, not being able to, you know, NBA teams, who knows who's going to want to take a gamble on a kid that they never got to see play college basketball. So
yeah,
that's why I feel like he can boom, is because I don't think he's going to get drafted that high. I don't think he's going to have that much expectations coming in, but I think he's going to shine through the roof and be a good player for whatever franchise drafts him. So those are my thoughts on the JUCO guard.
All righty. Our next player, Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony. Oh, man. Going into the season, I had really high expectations for him, and I'm sure a lot of people did. Obviously, he was a top five recruit coming to North Carolina, but I'm going to go bust on this one. Even though he was hurt for most of the year at North Carolina, even when he came back, I really didn't like what I saw from him. I think he's too small. He's not a point guard, and he's not a shooting guard. He's more of a combo guard, and he's way too small to be a combo guard. When I think of combo guard, I think of more LaMelo Ball or Jalen Green coming into, I guess he'll be in the G League next year. But that's what I think of when I think of Cole Anthony. And Cole Anthony is not big enough to be a combo guard. And that's why I don't exactly know what his role is going to be in the NBA, whether he will be a maybe he develops more of a one, maybe he develops more of a point guard, I guess, skill set. I mean, he's 6'3". He's fine height-wise. Yeah. I don't want to say eye test, but he just looks small on the court compared to other players, and he also needs to put on some muscle. And like I said, if he can develop that point guard skill set, then I think he'll be fine. Then I think, you know, he can be a good backup point guard. I don't think he'll be a starter in his career, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does end up being a starter throughout. Yeah. NBA career, but he just doesn't pop to me like he did coming into college. And I think he's not going to grow, obviously, but I think if he can put on some muscle and develop a more of a point guard mindset instead of that scoring guard mindset, I think he can be a decent player in the NBA.
All right, this is our last prospect before we wrap things up. Let's go with Killian Hayes.
I think Killian Hayes, we talked about him in the mock draft. I think he's a huge boom. I could see him being a guy that come draft night, they're going to announce the pick, and he's going to be a top 8, top 10 guy. I think he'll be even higher than that, but I think he'll get drafted pretty highly. And, you know, fans, casual fans of that team are going to hear that their franchise drafted Killian Hayes, and they're going to get all up in arms about it. And I think they're going to be dead wrong, because I think Killian Hayes is a great prospect. Kyle Boone called him a French prodigy, which I thought was interesting. So I think he'll come in right away, and I think he can impact whatever team he gets drafted to, unless they have a really good starting point guard. But I think he will really surprise a lot of people that don't follow overseas basketball and are not familiar with Killian Hayes. He's 6'5". I mean, he's huge, and he is the exact opposite of Cole Anthony, as in he's got the point guard mindset. He's got the mindset of a one guard. He's a facilitator, and he can pass the ball really well as score. You know, you want a point guard that, you know, maybe is pass first, but likes to pass, likes to share the ball, share the wealth, and also be able to score. And Killian Hayes is that perfect mold in being a pass / score guard. So I think he will be a great addition to whatever whatever NBA team selects him. So I'm a big Killian Hayes guy. I think he will surprise a lot of people. So for that reason, I'm going to go boom on him, because I think he'll definitely surprise a lot of expectations or surpass a lot of expectations, I should say.
That does it for this week's episode of CBB 365. As always, I'm Patrick Dallahan with Adam Hipsky. Have a good week, everyone. We'll see you next week.